Let me draw your attention to a couple of announcements before we look into God's Word. You will find the major announcements on pages 6 and 7 in your program. A reminder that this Thursday evening, if you have questions or comments about the proposed new constitution and bylaws, that there will be a meeting in which you can raise those. So please keep that in mind and attend at 7 o'clock on this Thursday, and then there's another meeting planned for Saturday, January the 27th, if you're not able to come out on Thursday evening. You'll notice at the bottom of page 6 that we are looking for some additional people to help out with the preparation as well as the cleanup of our coffee fellowship time. And so if you can be of some help in that regards, please speak to Bertha. And that would be greatly appreciated. I know that we all enjoy having coffee and tea and some snacks there available for us in between our services. And so some extra help with that would be appreciated. Also, international messengers are recruiting a team to go back to Poland again this year. And so if you might have some interest in that, please speak to me as soon as possible. We need to deal with that matter sooner rather than later. So prayerfully consider whether or not God is calling you to be involved in that. One announcement which is not in the bulletin, and I will mention this again as the service closes. We were hoping that yesterday there would be enough people to help take down Christmas decorations, but not enough people attended yesterday to do that, and so we are going to have a Christmas decoration dismantling party before coffee and tea. And so I am told that under the direction of Vincent and I think Masao, that if you all pitch in, all of these decorations can be taken down in about 5 or 10 minutes. And so when we sing the final amen, I'm going to turn things over to Masao, and he is going to give you directions as to how you can assist and take down the decorations. And then after that, go and enjoy some coffee and fellowship together. There is an insert in your bulletin, and I'll be making reference to that later on during the sermon. Let's pray now, and then we will look at God's Word. We thank you, dear God and Savior, for this time of being together, and what a privilege to lift up our voices and our hearts in worship and praise. And I thank you for the time that we've spent together already doing that. And I pray that as the Sunday school program continues and as we here look into your word, that we would all be open to the message that you would speak to us. We ask for your blessing upon these words that will be spoken. And we pray this for the honor and for the glory of Jesus. And in his name, amen. We read, or had read to us just a few moments ago, a passage from Ephesians chapter 1. And I'd like you to turn there because I'm going to read that again in just a couple of moments. Have you ever asked or heard someone ask, who needs the church? Many churches have a bad rep, and thus many more churches get a bad rap. Many people will answer this particular question of who needs the church with an emphatic no one, or at least not me. Now, last week I spoke about how the church is God's idea. Historic Protestants have always answered the question of who needs the church with whoever wishes to be saved. Now, not everyone who belongs to the local visible church is a member of the invisible universal Catholic Church, but one cannot choose to belong to the invisible church, the body of Christ, while refusing to belong to its local, visible expression. You see, God has determined that the local, visible church is something that is necessary and that it will be a communion of saints. And this is the phrase of the Apostles' Creed that we will consider today. Now, before I explain this phrase, I'd like to give you a piece of advice. Let's call it a safety bulletin. Based upon recent research, if you want to stay safe in the world today, avoid riding in automobiles because they are responsible for 20% of all fatal accidents. Do not stay at home because 17% of all accidents occur in the home. Avoid walking on streets or sidewalks because 14% of all accidents occur to pedestrians. Avoid traveling by air, rail, or water because 16% of all accidents involve these forms of transportation. Of the remaining 33%, 32% of all deaths occur in hospitals. So above all else, avoid hospitals. Now, you will be pleased to learn that only 0.001%, you got that tiny little figure in your mind? 0.001% of all deaths occur in worship services in church. And these are usually related to previous physical disorders. Therefore, logic tells us that the safest place for you to be at any given moment in time is at church. So the church may have a bad rep, it may have a bad rap, but it is a fairly good place to be. Now, more importantly, the church is a good place to be because it is not so much a building location, but it is a group of people. Or as the Creed says, it is a communion of saints. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has greatly distorted people's understanding of the word saint. In Roman Catholic teaching, to be recognized as a saint requires a five-step process. Two of the steps involving miracles having taken place through the intercession of that person being considered for sainthood. But in the Bible, what we clearly see is that to be recognized as a saint is not a five-step process. To be recognized as a saint, all you need is to be a follower of Jesus, a Christian. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. Take a look at that. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of His glory. God's holy people, verse 1, to God's holy people, to God's saints, there are about 40 scripture passages that refer to Christians as God's holy people or refer to God's people as saints. What is a saint? A saint is a person who is a member of God's family, who has been adopted into God's family through Jesus Christ. A saint is one of God's chosen people, His chosen possession, set apart from the world to serve Him. Now, what I said last week when speaking about the word holy needs also to be said about the word saint. To be holy and to be a saint does not mean to be perfect. You see, we have not yet become all that we can become, but we do strive to live lives worthy of the calling that we have received. We do strive to become more conformed to the likeness of Jesus, but we do this from a position of privilege. We are loved. We are chosen. We are set apart by God. We are holy. We are saints. Positionally, if not always experientially, we are holy saints. Now keep that in mind the next time you are tempted to think or to behave badly towards a fellow Christian. Is that how you should think about or speak to or act against a saint? Think about it. We are saints. Now the local, the visible church usually meets in a building, and we are privileged to be able to meet in a building, but the building is not the church. We say this is Oak Ridge Baptist Church, but the building is not really, not truly the church. People are the church. The church is a communion of saints. But the local visible church is sadly also something other than a communion of saints. It is a gathering or a collection of sinning saints and sinning sinners. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. The local visible church is a mixed assembly. It is comprised of sheep and goats and wolves in sheep's clothing, of believers and unbelievers, of wheat and tares, of scribes and Pharisees, of sinning saints and sinning sinners. This reality was recognized by Jesus. Matthew 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Only the Holy Catholic or Universal Church is populated by regenerate, born-again Christians. But the local, visible church is a mixed assembly. And as a result, it can have a bad rep and receive a bad rap because some people in the local church do terrible and unthinkable things to others. People abuse others emotionally and physically and sexually. People criticize, marginalize, and ostracize others. People ignore and neglect and ridicule others. People refuse to respond to the needs and hurts of others. Both sinning saints and sinning sinners bring shame upon the local church through their sinful behaviors. And for that reason, many people give up on or abandon the local church. They seek their safety or their solace or their comfort by themselves or in the company of more trustworthy companions. Now, it is precisely because of sinning saints and sinning sinners that we desperately need to understand, promote, and pursue the Creed's belief in communion. The better the local church is at communion, the safer and healthier that church will be. Now, to say that the church is a communion is to say that believers have a common union with God through Jesus and have entered into fellowship with God and with one another. And this fellowship is expressed in our common service and our mutual responsibility. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, John says this: "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. At the core of communion is fellowship, fellowship with God through Christ, and fellowship with one another. Communion or fellowship is about our participation together in living out the two great commands, loving God and loving others. Communion or fellowship is about sharing life together with God and with one another. Communion or fellowship is demonstrated in concern for and practical commitment to God and to one another. Now, this morning I want to offer some illustrations of this communion, this fellowship, this shared life. And I really cannot do justice to these illustrations. I wish I could give more adequate, a fuller biblical basis, but it's not possible unless you want to stay here until late this afternoon. I have, however, included in your bulletin a beginning list that I want to go through very quickly. This will give you an overview of what communion or fellowship is all about. In the communion of saints, Christians live in obedience to God's will. 1 John 3:24, those who obey His commands live in Him and He in them. In the communion of saints, Christians are partners in preaching the gospel. Philippians 1:4-5, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. In the communion of saints, Christians support the work of others. Philippians 4:16, for even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. In the communion of saints, Christians stand together in adversity. Hebrews 10:32-34. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. In the communion of saints, Christians use their spiritual gifts to serve one another. 1 Corinthians 12:4-7, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In the communion of saints, Christians have equal concern for each other. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 25 to 27. There should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. In the communion of saints, Christians worship and learn together. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, when you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church. In the communion of saints, Christians confess their sins and pray together. James 5, 16, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. In the communion of saints, Christians break bread together. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 and 17. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. In the communion of saints, Christians extend hospitality. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 and 9. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. In the communion of saints, Christians share money and possessions. Acts chapter 2, verses 44 to 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. In the communion of saints, Christians care for the disadvantaged and hurting. James chapter 1, verse 27. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. In the communion of saints, Christians correct and restore sinners. Galatians 6, verse 1, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. In the communion of saints, Christians bear with and strengthen the weak. Galatians 6, 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In the communion of saints, Christians encourage one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. In the communion of saints, Christians put the needs of others first. Romans 15, verses 1 to 3, we who are strong ought to bear the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each one of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. In the communion of saints, Christians live in harmony. 1 Peter 3, verses 8 to 11. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, if time allowed, I could offer to you many more illustrations about the communion of saints, such as what we often refer to as the one another verses. If the local church is to be a safe, healthy, effective place for people as it is meant to be, then it must be a communion. It must be a fellowship of saints. Paul admonishes us to live a life worthy of the calling we have received. We are to be holy. We are called to be holy. We are set apart. We are privileged to love God and to love others. And loving God and loving others is what communion or fellowship is all about. And when there is true communion, when there is this true communion of saints, then the local visible church, though it is not perfect, it will be a healthier and a happier and a more effective gathering. When true communion is not happening, the church gets a bad rep and they get a bad rap, and people are hurt and they are disillusioned and they give up on the church. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves is this: are we experiencing the communion or the fellowship of saints? How is it at Oak Ridge Baptist Church? Are we experiencing the communion of saints? Well, to some extent, we are, but not as much as we ought to. But now, this morning, we have been reminded of what ought to be. We now have a target. We have a direction. We have a goal. And together, we need to press on. And I want to encourage you over these coming weeks to take that illustrative list and look it over and ask yourself, what are one or two areas here where I need to put extra effort, extra emphasis? Where can I contribute more effectively to the communion of saints? What do I need to learn? What do I need to do based upon this particular list? And pick one or two things to which you will commit yourself to growing in and to doing more effectively over the coming weeks. Together, we need to press on. Now, you may want simply to sit on your hands, Or you may be one of those who wants to abandon the local church, who wants to give up on the church and say, who needs it? I don't need it. Why? Because it's populated with sinning saints and sinning sinners. But because the church is God's plan, that's not your choice. You can't abandon the church. The better, the necessary thing for you to do is to help the church become a truer and better communion of saints by you becoming a better and truer saint in that church. By living more effectively in fellowship with those around you, and by helping those around you to live in fellowship with one another. I hope that we will all invite God's guidance and we will invite His help to become not just a local visible church building in our neighborhood and our city, but that we would become a communion of saints in our neighborhood and our city. Let us personally, let us individually be committed to this communion, not selfishly consuming, but sacrificially giving ourselves and our resources to God and to others. The church is the safest place to be, and the communion of saints is the best experience to have. I believe in, I am committed to the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of saints, and I trust that you are as well. Let us pray. Father God, help us to take this ever so brief overview and to give it additional reflection. Would your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us personally, highlighting for us how we can contribute to the communion of saints. Forgive us for our sins, for our trespasses, for the ways in which we have hurt others by our less than holy behaviors. Help us to better understand and appreciate this communion of saints to which you have called us through Jesus Christ. And may we strive with greater effort, with stronger commitment, to live in a manner worthy of the calling which you have placed upon us. This I would humbly ask in the name of Jesus, for the honor and glory of Jesus. Amen. We now want to participate in the celebration of Holy Communion. This is a time where those who have been invited into the family of God and have found forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ look back and reflect upon His death and His resurrection. And we also look forward to that day when we shall finally meet Him face to face and forever be with Him. I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul, in dealing with Holy Communion, said, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, This is My body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let me encourage you, as you take the bread and as you take the cup, and you reflect upon the fact that Jesus gave his all for you, that you take this time to respond and say, out of my gratitude and love for what you have done for me, I make a new commitment to give my all for the communion of saints, that I'm prepared to make sacrifices to serve others. Just as you served me by coming and giving up your life, so I will serve others, whatever it costs me. I invite those who are helping to serve to come now, please, and we will begin to pass out the bread. We'll give thanks for the bread, and then we will eat together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice, and thank you for this time that we have to remember that. And we come to you humble on our knees as we partake of this bread. In your precious name, amen.
Pass the cup.
Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your love, for sending Christ to the earth to die on the cross for our sins. And this cup reminds us, Jesus, of your shed blood. And may we do this in remembrance of you and also in gratitude for the salvation that you've purchased for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Would you please stand with me now and let us give God glory. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus sanctify us and keep us from all evil. May He drive far from us all hurtful things and purify both our souls and bodies. May He bind us to Himself and to one another by the bond of love, and may His peace abound in our hearts. Amen. 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 Please be seated. Just to remind you that Bertha is looking for helpers, and so in a few moments when you're enjoying those refreshments, you might want to volunteer to assist her. I'm going to ask Masao now to come, and he's going to give us young folks. You seniors are excluded, but us young folks, we will quickly do some physical labor and then enjoy some refreshments.